Have you been recommended a systematic withdrawal plan by your advisor? Well, we're going to continue our three-part series to help identify some of the pitfalls in that plan. Welcome to episode number 87 of the Atlas Annuity Podcast. My name is Marty Becker. I'm the owner and founder of Atlas Financial Strategies in St. Louis, Missouri, where we specialize in safe money retirement strategies. In today's episode, we're going to continue talking about the three biggest pitfalls of a systematic withdrawal plan and talk about longevity risk. Now, if you did not get a chance to listen to episode number 86, just a quick recap, a systematic withdrawal plan, or an SWP, is designed around the old 4% rule. Now, again, that was never meant to be the rule. It was just something that was researched by a gentleman in the early 90s who ran a bunch of back testing of market returns to try and figure out what would be a safe percentage that people retiring could take out of their portfolio. At the time, it was about 4%. 30 years later, here we are, most economists who study retirement planning, they're really saying it's more like 3.5% at the most. The reason we point that out is because there is a major difference in the skill set and the products that are used when you move from the accumulation phase, i.e., you've been working, saving, and investing for retirement versus the distribution phase where now you're retired and you have a pile of money and you need to make it last as long as you do. So you need an advisor who knows the difference between those two phases of your financial life, because at the end of the day, you're always going to need income in retirement. That will never change, ever. You're always going to need income. And it's your income that determines your standard of living, not your wealth. So you have to have this mental shift from ROI, standing for return on investment, to now retirement, it needs to stand for reliability of income. So again, just a quick recap of this concept of this constrained investor that we talked about that was developed by a gentleman by the name of David Machia. We look at three different types of retirees. Number one, you have the overfunded investor. This is the person who possibly has millions, if not tens of millions of dollars, and they really only need to take less than 3% of their overall portfolio. Or it could just be a person who has a few hundred thousand, but they never need to touch it because they have Social Security and pensions and rental income and things like that. Then we move to the underfunded investor. This is the person, not that they did anything wrong or they're bad people, but they really don't have enough money to retire. If you have $300,000 saved for retirement and you need $50,000 a year in addition to your Social Security, I'm sorry, the numbers don't work. You either need to keep working or find a part-time job or lower the standard of living. But then there's this category of the constrained investor. And this really is, from my experience, the vast majority of the baby boomers right now. And again, this doesn't mean that you didn't do the right thing and you weren't disciplined in saving and investing. What it means is that you probably need more than 4% of your overall portfolio total. Very possible going to get you into some trouble, because the three biggest concerns in retirement planning and retirement strategies are, number one, timing. Number two, longevity, making sure the money lasts. And number three, inflation. So again, in this episode, we're going to talk about the longevity risk. And it's a risk because you don't know how long you'll need that money to last. Let's just do some quick history of life expectancy and see how vastly different it is from about 100 years ago. So in 1900, a man could expect to live to age 46. I turned 45 this year. So 100 something years ago, I would be basically on the verge of death, if not dead already. And you were considered old at 40. I didn't even consider myself a real adult until I hit 40. There was some mental shift that happened. But then in 1936, around the time of the creation of Social Security, life expectancy had already increased to 62. That's huge. Now, a 2000 study by the CDC identified the number of Americans alive at the age 100 or older was around 50,000. Here's what's interesting. 14 years later, they did that same study, and it had increased by almost 50% to over 72,000. Now, this gerontology research group tracks super centenarians. And these are people who have reached at least 110 years old. Now you think that's crazy, but the GRC has verified that at least 700 Americans that have this super longevity. Regardless of your specific situation, people are living longer. And I have talked to a lot of people who have said, I didn't expect to live this long, but better healthcare, better medical advancement, people are living longer. But again, regardless, you're never going to stop needing income. So we need to make sure you're going to have income for as long as you live, regardless of how long that is. Now, I do this comparison for everyone that I put a strategy together for, because you need to do an honest apples to apples comparison. So right now, a 65-year-old couple for a joint lifetime income, if you need $40,000, let's say you're getting $5,000 a month between the two Social Securities and you need an extra $40,000 and $100,000 before taxes, will get you your minimum acceptable lifestyle. We need to come up with $40,000. Let's say 65-year-old couple, they got $1 million. Well, for about $570,000, they can get a guaranteed income of $40,000 per year, no matter how long they live. So to do a true apples to apples comparison, what we have to look at is if they took that same $570,000 and put it into a managed portfolio with about a 1.5% annual expense, and that's pretty reasonable, they would have to get 8.4% every single year with no losses ever, just to make sure that original amount of money would last them until age 100. Now, that is a phenomenal rate of return, especially when you're taking out losses. Most people would probably agree that's just not sustainable. It's not realistic. And you may say, okay, Marty, yeah, 100, that's off the table for me. Genetics, whatever, that's fine. And you know what? I don't argue with people about that because it's not my place to argue. We're going to make the strategy fit how you want it to fit. However, it's probably not unreasonable to think one person in a couple who's 65 years old is probably going to make it to age 92. And I'm going to show you some numbers right after this that will defy the odds of that. But the typical advisor is going to plan to about age 92. In my mind, that's a mistake. We need to go to age 100. But even if we went to age 92, in the same example, if we took that same $570,000 and we started withdrawing $40,000 per year, and you had a 1.5% expense for the portfolio management, you would still need a 7.6 return on investment every single year with no losses ever. Again, most people reasonably can agree that's probably not going to happen. So let's look at some of the numbers here. Now, this chart was provided by the Vital Longevity Institute. Great company. They have a lot of good information. You should go check them out. The original source of this is from the VBT, which is the Valuation Basic Tables that is developed by the Society of Actuaries. Now, if you don't know what an actuary is, think of them as pediatric neurosurgeons who don't like blood. These are some of the smartest people on the planet. And what they know is if they take a group of people within a very small degree of accuracy, how many people are going to live to a certain age out of that group? They just don't know who will. So again, if we look at just a 65-year-old couple, non-smokers in good health, if we look at the yellow highlighted box here, what that is showing is you have about a 47.5% chance that one of you is going to live until 98 years old. So when we're talking about longevity, we don't ever want to underestimate it, because when we're using a systematic withdrawal plan, we're basically gambling. We're gambling it's going to maybe last till 98 or maybe not. And again, you have a 50-50 chance that one of you, if you're a 65-year-old married couple in good health, one of you has a 50% chance of living until 98. So that's like walking into a casino, putting all your chips on black and saying, oh, I kind of hope it works out. That is not a good retirement strategy. As discussed in a little more detail in episode 86, the systematic withdrawal plan is gambling. It's totally based on the timing of your retirement, and you don't know how long you're going to need your money to last, and you don't know what the returns will need to be to make sure it lasts. You're never going to stop needing income, so why do you want to risk it? Okay, the income annuity, again, That's just a portion of the portfolio. You're still going to have stocks. You're still going to have cash for liquidity. It's a balance in the overall strategy that is going to take the timing and the longevity risk off the table. And annuities, keep in mind, they're not an investment. They're insurance, which by its very nature is a transfer of risk. Get the risk out of your portfolio and just transfer it to an insurance company. This is what they do. This is what they're good at. And a good analogy, and I've used this before in the past, is think of yourself on a really long road trip. You're not quite sure how long it's going to take you to get there, but if we were to install a solar panel on your car and you're going through the desert, you don't know how long it's going to take you to get through it. You paid for the solar panel once, and now you always have it, and it's just going to continue to refuel the car no matter how long that destination is. And you're not going to have to rely on hopefully coming across a gas station every time you need to refuel. It's just going to happen automatically. Don't take this the wrong way. Annuities are, they're not a panacea. They're not a cure-all for everything, but they are a very important part of the retirement strategy. And read any economist who studies retirement income planning for a living. None of them disagree on the importance of annuities. The only disagreement is what type of annuity and when to implement it. And at the end of the day, that's going to be a recommendation that is made for every individual person based on your specific needs. If you're new to annuities, if you just stumbled across this podcast somehow, let me recommend to start getting familiar with them, go to my website, atlasannuity.com, click on the videos tab, and watch my video series, 20% More Spendable Income in Retirement, to kind of start wrapping your mind around this concept on how to use annuities the most effectively for your retirement. And if you've been watching this podcast for a while and you're finally ready to say, okay, let's see if this Atlas Annuity strategy would work for me, go to atlasannuity.com. That takes you directly to my calendar page, or if you're already on the website, click the schedule a call button in the top right corner and book a short Zoom call, and we'll get your questions answered to find out if this is a good fit for you. If you're liking this information, do us a favor because it helps spread the message even more. Like and subscribe to the podcast and the YouTube channel. Give us a thumbs up and share it with somebody that you think would benefit from hearing the information. I want to thank you for joining me. Again, my name is Marty Becker. This has been episode 87 of the Atlas Annuity Podcast. Wishing you all the best in your financial education. We'll catch you in the next episode.